B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
All right, 4:02 in the evening here, the triumphant return of Tony Maserati in our Tom Fred Tire Studios. Your thoughts on Josh Gordon?
Okay, so just quickly, this is our Rodenheiser hot take, brought to you by Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC, and Electric. Go to Rodenheiser.com to learn more about AC. So with Gordon, like the way Belichick and Brady were talking about him in the preseason, like Murray, I was stunned that he got reinstated. And then I sort of came to the conclusion that maybe it's as simple as them saying to him, this is it, pal. This is it.
Who's they?
The team saying, you know, like when he's in the program and he's going through, you know, rehabilitation, they can't release him. They can't do anything to him, I don't think. And so now he's going to come back and they want him to play for the team. But they tried everything last year. They had, you know, guys following him around, staying outside his hotel room, whatever. I mean, those were some of the rumors that were out there at the time with Gordon. They went through all these measures to protect the guy from himself, as we were saying. And they still couldn't do it. So now he goes in through the rehab program. Now he comes out, and in the interim, they're like, look, this is it. This is it. Any slip up, we're done. You're gone. It's over. So don't even think anything but that. And I think that in his heart of hearts, Belichick knows this guy's not going to make it through the year. If I had to guess, they want him, though. They need the receiver. They put in some time with him last year. But at the same time, Bill being Bill, he's not going to put up with it again. I mean, there's no way they're going to put up with it again. If this guy falls off the wagon.
Well, can the league give him another chance? Could the league give him another chance? I mean, I think it'll be taken out of the Patriots' hands.
I mean, but hasn't he already been down that road with the league?
I think this is your
banned for life?
Ish. You know, this is your last chance, and this time we really mean it. I mean, that's how I think it is.
Yeah, I get the sense that the Patriots were distancing themselves from him in the preseason. And I don't think it was just because, you know, they can then, you know, put it on the league or whatever. I think a lot of it is a message to Gordon. Like, this is it, pal. This is your last shot. Okay? You know, we were your last shot when we brought you here in the first place. You're lucky we're bringing you back. But he knows now there's no more gray area. I don't think that's a huge revelation. I think everyone sort of understands that going in. There's no way this guy can fall off the wagon again and survive.
So, again, just to reset the, you know, Demaryius Thomas back before anyone, you know, way before anyone thought he might, with the Achilles. He suffered the Achilles at the end of last year,
right?
It was
in December, yeah. I mean, the talk was he was probably going to be on it until week 7.
Well, the PUP, you can go to like to week 12 almost. So they take him off the PUP today. He obviously passes the physical, passes the conditioning run. He's out there practicing today. So that's a big return for the Patriots. And now in the blink of an eye, Edelman comes back, Gordon's on the field, and Demaryius Thomas is on the field. Looks sort of different. I'll tell you, though, I just sort of hate the makeup of those two outside guys. But that's not to say it ain't going to work. You know, it's probably going to work because most things do that they try. And especially it's how they use Gordon. You know, I talked about this when you were gone. You know, they got into this thing last year where they're just chucking it to Gordon over the top and these low percentage things and trying to force him the ball. The last
Tennessee game
before the bye was in Tennessee, 4 catches on 12 targets. They scored 10 points and then they went into the bye. And then they came out of the bye and really treated him totally differently. Started throwing to him on slants and underneath. And I think he caught 8 balls on his next 8 targets. He was 5 for 5 the next game, 3 for 3 the game after that. And his yardages were down, but he was more of a possession. He was just more sort of in the system, which is how I want them to use him. And, you know, he's so big and has such good hands. He can wall off receivers and play that kind of game. So great. But they get into this thing where they're trying to stretch the field and, you know, big plays to Josh Gordon. I didn't have any use for that. I don't think the offense needs that. I don't think it works. And I don't think it worked for them last year. If he's in the system and within the system and the way they play, fine. But damn, so damn unreliable off the field. And then Demaryius Thomas, this is a guy I like. This is a guy I used to enjoy you beating up. You go into a big game against the Broncos, and there's Demaryius Thomas with over 1,000 yards and high flying, and then you crack him in the mouth on the first series, and you don't see him the rest of the day. I used to love being on the other side of it. Now he's your guy. Blech.
That's what Seattle did to him in the Super Bowl.
You know, anyone who's got a half a clue, crack him in the mouth. Bye-bye, Demaryius. Bye-bye. But now he's your guy. So anyway, I just don't like the makeup of those receivers. I'll take this Jacoby Myers all day long. I mean, all day long. I like that kid. But anyway, back to your phones. As promised, here's Dominic in Southbridge on the Antonio Brown helmet thing. Go ahead, Dominic.
You know what it is about Antonio Brown and his helmet? And I know it's just, Tim's right about the whole thing with the equipment. These guys are such muppets. They're allowed to do whatever they want with the equipment. It'd be a total clown show. But you know what it is? It's his hair. You know how that helmet leaves that perfect disc on top of his head? And that's like with his dancing and his whole brand. It's like Cam Newton with the towel over his ears. He doesn't want the new helmet to mess with his hair.
Do we think that might be true?
I hadn't thought about that. I'd buy that.
Oh, I wouldn't rule that out.
His image is so important to him. That is evident.
With this guy.
I mean, this is an easy comparison to make, but and maybe this is your point about receivers. They're like NBA superstars. A complete pain in the ass.
Oh, God.
Talk about high maintenance. Complete pain in the ass. So, again, the other positions don't feel like they're that way.
Not as bad as that.
Holy crap. I mean, it really, it becomes, I can't remember a case where a guy shot his way out of town, got a new contract, and then started creating problems with his new team before he even got on the field.
Before training camp started. Jim in Cambridge on the Patriots. Hi, Jim.
Hey, how you doing? I'm kind of spitballing here, but I think Belichick has a plan for the season, or game plans for the season. And what he's thinking is there's three scenarios. Brady plays great. He's superstar, best in the world again, and he has a nice, adequate running back, running attack, and a good defense and special teams, and they got a great chance. Scenario two is that he doesn't play that well. He has kind of an off season, and they need that new running game and that new defense and that new special teams. And then scenario three is kind of the same as two. He gets hurt, and they have to bring in a new quarterback where you just have to do the same thing, scenario two.
Right.
Just want to hear your thoughts on that, and have a good day, guys.
Okay, Jim, I think you're right. I think he's sort of assuming two and three are going to happen. I think he's building the team like two or three is going to happen. And this is a little dramatic. It's a little bit of an overstatement from me, but I feel like it's in this direction. I think he's treating Brady like John Elway was treated at the end of his career, and Peyton Manning was treated at the end of his. And I think Brady's better than those guys than they were at this stage. I think Brady has a lot more to give than those guys did at that stage. I think the Pats can win this way because they kind of won that way last year, or started to anyway. So it's not that I think it will be unsuccessful. I just think it's an overcompensation for what I think Bill thinks of Brady. I think Bill's underestimating what Brady has left right now.
Yeah, maybe. But again, I look at it as Bill looks at it and says, no, the chances of him playing at the same level now are less than they were. The chances of it are less. So what am I going to do? I'm going to have a 42-year-old quarterback, and I'm going to buy in the TB12 bullcrap? What do you want to sell me the nuts to, Tom? I got to buy the nuts? Like, is Bill going to do that? He's going to sit there and go, oh, yeah, Tom, 42, no problem. Let's give you a 4-year contract, and why don't you send me 24 bags of nuts? I'll take those, and throw in a coffee table book and some seeds, chia seeds, or whatever the hell you want to throw in there. Send me that too, Tom, no problem. Or is he going to look at it and go, this guy's full of crap. What am I going to do, invest in a 42-year-old, or I got to prepare myself for the reality that he's going to fade?
But could it also be none of that, and it's just sort of the competitiveness between those two? Where Brady's got this thing, I'm going to show Bill. He doesn't believe in me, and I'm going to show him. And Bill is saying, it's time for me to win my way. And it has nothing to do with how it looks on the field or how it's going to look, but it's just sort of a little bit of an extension of their personality clash or whatever that thing is that's been going on down there the last couple of years.
Yeah, power struggle, if you want to call it that.
Something like that.
Yeah, I think there's something to this. I do. That Bill says, again, I'm giving you the dramatic version.
Yes,
okay?
Well, this is Felger Mass.
So work with me. It's the dramatic version. Are you going to make me trade my quarterback? I got to trade Jimmy G? So now I have to build it around you? Well, I'll tell you what. Fine, I had to trade Jimmy G, but I don't have to build it around you. I can build it however I want. So if you're my quarterback now, I'm going to build it like I would build it with a 42-year-old quarterback. I don't care what kind of seeds you're eating or anything else. Whatever you put in that stupid-ass Vitamix blender of yours, no offense to Vitamix, I have one, I love the product, but you get the idea. Whatever you're putting in that stupid-ass blender of yours, go sell that crap and your bag of nuts to someone else.
You watch Garoppolo last night, Miz?
Yeah, he had a tough night.
Yeah. You catch any of that?
Say the seeds are doing a pretty good job for the old man.
Don't you be writing off Jimmy G just yet, Murray.
Michael and Walpole. Go ahead, Michael.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
So first off, I'd like to acknowledge, I'm not a Patriots fan, so I do have a bit of a bias here against them. But if you look at not just Jimmy G, but what Matt Cassel did without Tom Brady, Matt Cassel went 11-5. And then Jimmy G and Brissett combined went 3-1.
14-6 is your number, Mike. 14-6.
Excuse me?
14-6 without Tom Brady. 14-6. Since Brady took over, the backups are 14-6 as starters without Tom Brady. Now go.
Yes, exactly. So in what scenario do you think, if Bill Belichick decides to bring Jimmy G back, that he won't succeed? Because if you look at another team like the Indianapolis Colts, with Curtis Painter and Peyton Manning, they go 2-14 without Peyton Manning. Is that a legit...
Yeah, you should see my Packers with Michael Hundley or whatever bag of crap they have back there when Rodgers gets hurt. It's a complete clown show. The Patriots go 14-6. Again, it's one of my favorite numbers. One of the things that I think just stands out as much as any team can win with a great quarterback. They all do. All the great quarterbacks win at a high level. So what does that mean when you win, you know, Brady's records? Your record without Brady? Now that impresses me. 14-6? That says something about you.
Which is why it still means something to Bill to do it.
And it should. I'd be proud of that number. I would be if I were Bill. They should be proud of that number. And if Garoppolo came back, what would their record be? Murray, what would their record be then?
5-11. Something like that.
Oh, Murray, you're delusional.
He sucks. He blows. Get it through your thick skull.
You're putting that in my terms so that I can understand it?
Yes, I am. That's exactly what I'm doing.
Don't count out Jimmy G. I'm telling you, it's a very good chance, Murray, that at this time next year, you're getting ready to go into week one with Jimmy G as your quarterback.
If you've tuned in to us any time in the last 3 weeks, Maz hasn't been here because he's been on some sort of long excursion, like African safari, but he's back in case you haven't noticed. Yeah, give it to me again, Jimmy. Give me the jingle to break, please.
Maz is back from his 1 week vacation. His takes on all the stuff he missed. Maz is back.
You're listening to Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG, it's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
All right, 4:02 in the evening here, the triumphant return of Tony Maserati in our Town Fair Tire Studios. Your thoughts on Josh Gordon?
Okay, so just quickly, this is our Rodenheiser hot take, brought to you by Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC, and Electric. Go to Rodenheiser.com to learn more about AC. So with Gordon, like the way Belichick and Brady were talking about him in the preseason, like Murray, I was stunned that he got reinstated. And then I sort of came to the conclusion that maybe it's as simple as them saying to him, this is it, pal. This is it.
Who's they?
The team saying, you know, like when he's in the program and he's going through, you know, rehabilitation, they can't release him. They can't do anything to him, I don't think. And so now he's going to come back and they want him to play for the team. But they tried everything last year. They had, you know, guys following him around, staying outside his hotel room, whatever. I mean, those were some of the rumors that were out there at the time with Gordon. They went through all this, all these measures to protect the guy from himself, as we were saying. And they still couldn't do it. So now he goes in through the rehab program. Now he comes out, and in the interim, they're like, look, this is...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz.
I love it.
You were right, Maz.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
All right, Tommy, my pick, Tom Curran. I think the next head coach of the New England Patriots is Mike Vrabel.
What do you say?
I don't think so. I really don't. I think that the next head coach is a defensive coach, and I think he is actually in the building right now, and I think it's going to be Gerard Mayo. When you look at all the things that Mayo brings to the table, the fact that he will coach under Belichick as opposed to what Vrabel did, his business acumen, his time that he spent in the professional business world with Optum, the things that he knows, he's an incredibly charismatic person. Not to say Mike Vrabel isn't those things, not to say Mike Vrabel wouldn't be a good candidate, but I really have a feeling that when it's all said and done, if Gerard Mayo wants to coach the New England Patriots after Bill Belichick, that might be something that the Crafts would like to see happen.
So here's another thing that we talked about last week with Maz out, and that take by Tom Kern gave us a whole show, actually. Gerard Mayo is the next head coach. So it ties into also the defensive play calling this year. Felt like Gerard Mayo really had that role in Detroit and has had that at training camp. Yet when you watched on Saturday in Tennessee, Murray and I talked about this yesterday, felt like it was him and Steve Belichick were going back and forth, or were doing it together, like they were just right next to each other the entire time, like talking in between plays. And you know, not that the cameras trained on them, that I saw all of it, but I just felt it was sort of a team production there. It was Steve Belichick and Gerard Mayo, which I know you have a take on Steve Belichick and all this.
Well, look, again, if he's involved in it, I don't know if I love that. I mean, you know, and this is, if someone on the inside wants to tell me Steve Belichick is an accomplished coach and knows what he's doing, and great. I mean, I guess I'll believe you. But in the interim, how am I supposed to look at it other than the fact that he's got the job because he's Belichick's kid?
It's impossible to look at it any other way.
I mean, if I were him, honestly, I wouldn't want to work in the organization for that reason. Like, and look, at the end of the day, your father gives you a job, I suppose you take the job. But that's kind of a big hurdle to have to clear your credibility when you're the coach's son. Like, I don't want Steve Belichick calling the plays. And I don't know that that's what's going on here, but I'm telling you, if that's the road they're going down, what experience or credentials does he have to be able to do that?
What does Mayo have?
He played.
Thank you. That fair? You answered that question well.
Okay, like, I mean,
and I'll, called plays as a defensive
exactly.
You know, at least he didn't come up with the plays, but he relayed them in.
Exactly. And also, you know, could make decisions on the fly, right? Like, based on what he saw at the line of scrimmage or whatever else. So, like, there at least is some on-field acumen there and, you know, signal calling as far as, like you said, relaying signals in. Not to mention being able to adjust on the fly. Like, I'm not sure I love the idea of Mayo doing it, but at least with Mayo, I feel like there is a foundation to build on.
No, to me, the whole coach.
I got nothing against Steve Belichick. I don't know him at all.
No, Maz. I've talked about a lot, and this doesn't even apply to football. I mean, the boss's kid suddenly working alongside you? I mean, isn't that always just inviting problems?
Yes, because, again, everyone's going to look at it, whether it's right or wrong. Everyone's going to look at it and say, well, the only reason he's here is because he's the coach's kid. So now, again, if he earns his responsibilities, well, fine. But that's a hard thing to sell to the public.
Yeah, and how can you build trust, too, when people might think, like, he might go run to dad?
You can't.
Of course.
You know, those kind of things.
You can't, which is why you're almost better off not being there. You're better off being somewhere else, really.
So I think, Maz, and this opens up a whole bigger thing about Belichick's future and how he wants his, you know, the final chapter to read and where it is and all this. I don't know exactly how to button it all up for you perfectly, but I just know his kids are in play. His kids are a factor. In other words, I think one of the reasons we're going to get more out of Bill is because he's working with his kids. I think that's, you know, as problematic as it can be for the people involved, for the father, that's a great thing. Show up to work with your kids. Like, I can totally get why that energizes Bill, and he loves it and he should love it, and I get it. Get it. Totally get it. And I think that's going to keep him coming to the office, that he's, you know, showing up with his family. Great for him. But what do the kids want to do? So now Steve and Brian are committed. They're NFL coaches. And I you know, this is what they want to do. Does Bill want him to stay on here? Is this their best place? Does Steve ultimately want to be a head coach? Does Brian ultimately want to be? People talk about Brian like he's a real sharp kid and has a real future at it. And they want to be head coaches? Do they have a future here? Could you see John Kraft, who ultimately owns the team, hiring a Belichick kid as a coach? Because it feels like, you know, again, just that whole ego clash, like, no, it's my team. It's not your team, Bill. You know, so I'm gonna hire the coach. We're not just going to promote your kid. You know, I mean, I can just see that sort of ego and stuff getting involved, because it does anytime family members work for the company. It's just like that happens everywhere. And I can see all those sort of dynamics at play. So Bill wants to set him up for their next thing and put him in the best position. When Bill's gone, is the best position here?
No. I mean, I don't think so.
I just don't know if I could ever see the Crafts promoting a Belichick kid to be head coach, and it's like...
I also think that that's an impossible...
Oh my God! Impossible position for the successor. Oh, right.
Like you. There's no way in this case. There's no way you could match it. So, like, you'll have to fill me in here. And I think I know the answer. But did Kyle Shanahan coach under Mike?
Yeah, he. Yes, he did.
Very, very early.
Yes, I want to say in Denver. Well, no.
Washington. Did Mike Shanahan coach in Washington?
So, I'm just saying yes because I believe it true. I don't have it in front of me to know for sure.
Yeah, that sounds right, actually, now that I say it, because Mike Shanahan traded Haynesworth to Belichick. So, Shanahan was in Washington at the time, and Kyle ultimately...
That feels right.
Yeah, and then Kyle was there and worked with Kirk Cousins, right?
Yes.
So, but ultimately, Kyle Shanahan became a head coach somewhere else.
Correct.
Right?
An offensive coordinator on his own.
Right. So, I just think that... There's no way Bill can realistically believe that Steven or Brian is going to end up as his successor.
And look, he has so many slappies / bobos across the league now running, you know, Belichick programs that, you know, John Robinson, you know, Steve needs a defensive coordinator. Like, he'll find landing spots, but I don't know. To me, it's somewhere in play. I think Bill wants to set up his kids. That's all. And whether that's here or somewhere else and how that all plays, I can't tell you exactly how. But I think it's just a dynamic to consider.
Sure.
And I think in the short term, it's good because you're going to get more out of Bill. And you're going to get Bill, you know, to stay longer than he might have because he gets to show up and work with his family, which I must be important to him and must be great.
I'm surprised to hear Curran say Mayo is going to be the next head coach.
I'm not.
You think that's in play?
Yeah, I do. And I think the tip-off there was that last thing. That's something that the Crafts might like. And where does Tom come up with that? Where's Tom? And then we have another cut. We don't have to play it, but he said something along the lines of minority coach. And, you know, the league needs a minority coaches, and Mayo would obviously be a minority coach. And that's something that – and Tom didn't say these words, but I'm just sort of paraphrasing. And the way he presented it was that's something on the table for the Patriots that they'd like to be a part of. And so that's me saying that, not Tom. But that was sort of the implication in Tom's reporting on that.
So if Josh McDaniels is a better candidate, they're not going to hire him because they want to – make some sort of social statement?
To me, that's my least favorite part of the whole thing. So we did a whole day on this, Mass, just to catch you up. I don't want Gerard Mayo because I want the next guy to coach my quarterback. I want an offensive guy, and I want a quarterback guy because the whole future is about your next quarterback. And if the league's all about coach quarterback, then I want this quarterback closely aligned with my coach. And I want the coach coaching him and mentoring him and blah, blah, blah. And Gerard Mayo as a inside linebacker, I don't know what sort of credentials he has to coach that quarterback. So that's why I don't want Gerard Mayo. Nothing to do with anything else. But to get on the minority hiring train would be the wrong reason, you know, and not that, again, I know you feel the same way too. I'm okay with, you know, I'm not just okay with it. I think diversity is a great thing, and, you know, African-American coaches are important for the league and all of that. It's just, I don't want my team hiring it just to, you know, hire
just
one
for the
just,
sake
just
of
to
it.
Do it. Yeah.
No.
Let's save the world some other time. I'm more interested in winning football games, frankly.
I mean, look, now that I think of it, you know, Parcells, Pete.
They've never had an African-American coach.
No. Bill, all defense. I mean, all defensive guys, right? So do the Crafts have some sort of philosophy that the defensive guys make better head coaches?
I don't know. That's be interesting. You know,
I mean, they didn't hire Parcells.
They inherited Parcells, and I don't know where they came up with Pete. And Bill was because Bill sucked up to Robert during the end of the Parcells years, and they developed a relationship. And so when it came back time, that's why Kraft plucked him. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know if they've ever been asked that. I have no clue. But that's just sort of catching you up on that thing. But the play calling thing this year, keep an eye on this, because if we thought it was going to be Bill, then it looked like it was Mayo. And this last game, it was him and Steve Belichick.
Yeah, he was here with him, no question about it.
Every time that the camera panned to them, it looked like they were having some kind of conversation. It'd be interesting if it went sour, though. I'm going to tell Dad.
Well, I mean,
I didn't like that play.
Look, depending on who you talk to about the Malcolm Butler thing, the Steve Belichick.
He was a factor.
Presence. The Steve Belichick presence may have cost you a big decision and a big game and a big mistake. I mean, the fact that a kid of the coach was on the staff may have led to one of the biggest coaching blunders Belichick's ever made. So you could say the family thing has already gotten in the way. And that for any of you who have a family business or, you know, work for the old man, or you're the old man who have kids work for you, or you work at a company where the old man's kids are working for blah, 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 you shouldn't be surprised, because it usually sticks its nose in there somewhere, doesn't it? And it's usually not good. But for the father, the guy itself, like, I'd love to work with my kids. Who wouldn't? Like, that's a great thing. But does it work out for everybody else?
Oh, Bill loves that whole football family crap.
No, but anyone
does. The Ryan brothers, he loves that. The Shanahans, he loves
it. But it's not just that.
He does, though. He loves that part of it.
You wouldn't love to show up and have one of your kids behind the glass, sir? You could boss him around?
I don't know.
Oh, I'd love it. I'd love it. Emma, get your ass in here.
I don't know if I trust my kids.
Answer the phones. Make sure it's a landline. That would be great. It would be great.
I'm kidding, Alex.
Okay, Murray's update, then we're back with your phones.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Back to your phones, as promised. We'll circle back to the Chris Sale stuff and Mass's take on all of that. But your phones, as promised, Tom and Revere. Hi, Tom. Tommy.
Hey, Mike. Mike, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. What do you got?
Just wondering if you set my call up perfectly with the Malcolm Butler stuff. Did you happen to see the first play of the exhibition game the other night?
The first play of the exhibition game the other night was, I can't remember what it wasn't the interception. What was it?
Nope. For the first time in, I think, every game that I've ever watched for the Patriots, they open up with a bomb down the right-hand side with targeting Malcolm Butler. And I have to believe he was opening his mouth a little bit too much for Bill's liking in terms of his grading out on the special teams and how he was doing relative to that terrible Super Bowl situation.
Huh. I don't know about that. I mean, Malcolm Butler was asked about the Super Bowl benching during those joint practices. And he said, "Where's the hoodie at?" And says, you know, he was over it and sort of laughed it off and said, "I graded out at 99%. My one rep, I graded out at 99%. I covered the gunner on the." So he was joking about it. People were wondering about the joking. I think it's clear. So no, to my answer is, I don't think Bill was targeting. No, I don't think he was trying to make him look bad, because I think they have a deal. Like, there's a deal in place. And that deal is, you keep your mouth shut, Malcolm. We'll keep our mouth shut. You got paid. You got made whole. We're fine. You're fine. Don't say a word about it. And they're not saying a word about it. And that's what's going on. It's a deal. And you'd say, what's in it for Malcolm Butler? What's in it for Malcolm Butler is that he got paid. Not by the Patriots.
But they could have made his name mud after that if they wanted to put something out there.
They sure could. They sure could. But, I mean, this is how it's all made whole. To me, it was embarrassing for both sides, because I think Malcolm Butler was probably running around like an idiot there at the end. Okay? So he was running around like an idiot. The Pats could make him look bad if they wanted to. I think Malcolm could really make them look bad, because you may have cost yourself a Super Bowl over a off-field thing maybe involving the coach's kid and all that. So he could really make them look bad. So why don't we not make anybody look bad? You got paid. It was a Belichick loyalist that paid him. So we've even surmised, Jimmy, what happened there with Malcolm Butler and the Titans?
Hush money.
Thank you. So he gets paid off. He keeps his mouth shut. Bill keeps his mouth shut. And that's what's going on. That's, to me, I think that's it in a nutshell.
I mean, I still think it hurt the Patriots more than hurt Butler.
Definitely.
That's what I think. I mean, you know, now look, Belichick came back and they won again. And, you know, so there's a lot that went away over the longer term. But Bill took a bigger hit than Malcolm did in the short term.
No question, as far as I'm concerned. But still, what's going to keep how come Malcolm's keeping his mouth shut? He got paid. So you win, we win, let it go.
I don't remember the first pass. It's hard to throw a pass against that secondary and not throw it at a former Patriot.
It was the second pass that was picked off.
That was Ryan.
Yeah. Anyway, Tony and Stoney, what do you got for us, Tony?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Question before I go into anything. Where did Bill Belichick start coaching?
He was on Ted Matcher Broda's staff with the Colts in like 1975.
Didn't he coach under his father?
I don't think he ever did.
I thought he did it, maybe.
I don't believe you ever did, Tony.
I could be wrong. But anyway, you know, this thing you were talking about earlier with Brady and everything, you know, you got to understand something. You hate the running game. Every friggin' team that succeeds in the NFL is running for 2,500 yards a year.
Oh, would you stop, Tony?
Oh, but look up your stats.
Tony.
Look up your stats.
Tony, they've won Super Bowls with Antoine Smith and Kevin.
I don't care who they've the players were. I'm talking about the yardage that the running game gives a team. I don't care who gives you the yardage.
I see.
So, you know, so if they're going to do a lot of running this year, fine. Brady is still going to have his 3,000, 3,500 yards passing, unless he just completely, you know, folds and everything, which I doubt he's going to do. And I don't think that this had anything to do with contract or anything else. He has got his receivers now. I think Gordon is going to be a big surprise this year. I think he's finally going to wake up.
Okay,
but he's had enough problems and everything. And I think with this new guy and the guys that I'm seeing in the exhibition games, they're really showing something.
Tony, if you think they're putting the same emphasis on the running game in the past as they are now, I don't know what you've been watching.
Yeah, me neither.
Come on, give me a break.
And it's a position of strength, wide receiver now, don't you
know? Oh, don't get me going on that one, please.
Oh, come on, Maz. Don't you know?
Holy crap.
Now there's too many wide receivers. What are they going to do? Someone's going to have to get cut. I mean, it's a position so deep and so strong. Someone's going to have to go.
I mean, talk about buying into the propaganda. Other than Edelman, is there one sure thing there?
No.
Like, go right across the board. Gordon could be suspended before the opener again. Like, I wouldn't rule that out. Demaryius Thomas, who the hell knows? He's coming off an Achilles injury, and he had trouble catching the ball even when he was healthy. And the kids, you have no idea. I like what I've seen out of Jacoby Myers, too. And I like what I saw out of N'Keal Harry in that first game until he pulled a hamstring. Like, you know, to me, that looks like a guy who can catch a ball with someone all over his back. I like that. So, fine. But again, how do you know? There's no sure things there. Now all of a sudden they're too deep at receiver?
But don't tell me they've always emphasized the running game. That's asinine.
No, it is asinine.
It's always been a compliment for them. It's been as much a part of the passing game as the running game, and I mean pass-catching backs as running back. This year it's different, and last year it started to be different. Last year started the transition, and you got to figure it's going to be the same this year. They keep drafting the guys up high, and this kid they draft in the third round looks like he can play, like really play, unlike Michelle, who's just good, not great. This other kid might even be better. I mean, you would have liked this, Maz. Yesterday, I said already, after one preseason game, and he's so good, I've already forgotten his name. What's his name?
Damian Harris.
Damian Harris, greater than Sony Michel. He's shown more in the passing game in one preseason game than Michelle's shown in a year and a half.
Oh, in the passing game, there's no question he's better.
Looked better in one game. I don't know.
So, but he looks like he knows what he's doing. I heard them talking about this on the broadcast, Sosie and Zoe, that, you know, he had sort of an instinct for the passing game right out of the gate in minicamp. So, like, I think you just watch him, and you can see that he has a clue in the passing game.
Daniel in Acton. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, guys. So I heard what you were saying about the run game, but separate from the last caller, I think that the NFL, sort of a shifting. The successful teams can run the ball, and Belichick noticed that, and it's just giving them a strong run game to compete, not to take away from Brady. Like, look at the Chiefs, for example, last year. Kareem Hunt goes away. Even Mahomes, how good he's doing, they still, like, slump back a little bit. So I think Belichick's just trying to get momentum where the league's going. All these defenses have pass protections. They're not really ready for a strong run game the same way, and Bill's taking advantage.
I disagree with you. I don't. I mean, look, I think there's teams that have drafted running backs up high and are paying them now, and they're stupid. I don't think that's any more of a trend than it's ever been. I know some people believe it, but I don't. I think the elite quarterbacks are still going to win at a much higher percentage, at a much greater rate than teams that try and win running the ball.
I don't think the Chiefs slipped that all that much at all.
I don't think they did at all, frankly.
They
scored a million points in the playoffs.
They lit up the Patriots in the second half. In fact, it all started to change in that game when they started throwing at Damian Williams out of the backfield. When they started to treat him like they had Kareem Hunt back there, it was the same offense.
I think Bill's doing it because his quarterback's 42 and he's expecting a drop-off.
That's what I think.
And I think he's overcompensating.
I don't. I think he's smart. I do. I think he's smart. I think, you know, again, Tom Brady and his magic beans. And you get them from Jack, who sold him the beanstalk beans. The whole nine yards. Like, I look at it and say, if I'm Belichick, I'm doing it the same way. You want me to buy into this TB12 bullcrap? Sorry, go sell your nuts to someone else.
Maz is back. Have you noticed? We'll reset his thoughts on Chris Sale and the Red Sox right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Something? I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
It's tough, you know. This whole season's been kind of a grind. You know, everyone talks about last year being the dream season. Personally, this has been kind of the nightmare season. So, you know, obviously wanted to see it through. Wanted to keep fighting with the guys. You know, we still have a shot.
As Chris Sale today, addressing the media. You all know the story now. Was put on the shelf over the weekend with elbow inflammation. Went to see Dr. James Andrews yesterday to confirm or get a second opinion or another look at it. I, for one, a lot of people thought he was destined for Tommy John surgery, staring down the barrel of Tommy John and being out for a year plus. See you later. See you next at the 2011 Red Sox spring training, Chris. And then it comes back right around this hour yesterday. It was first reported by Jeff Passan that it is just, in fact, inflammation. He has avoided Tommy John surgery for now. He will be reassessed in 6 weeks, which means pretty much he is done for the season. Maz, your thoughts?
Oh, there's no way this is good news. Again, I go back. To me, there's a line you draw here with Sale because we had some confusion with callers earlier. You want to tell me you think the Chris Sale trade was worth it? Fine. No problem. Nobody's going to dispute that. You won a World Series with the guy. The issue is whether or not they should have signed him to that contract when they signed him to it, which was this spring. And that was a colossal mistake. And that's not a second guess. We said that at the time. So I don't know how you look at this now and wonder whether the guy's ever going to be the same again. I mean, I don't think it's wrong to look at it that way. So let's say he doesn't have surgery. Well, then who's to say he's not Masahiro Tanaka? He's a middle of the rotation guy and you'll get some good starts along the way, but otherwise you'll get just a mediocre body of work. I mean, I think there's entirely that possibility. This is bad. Bad, bad, bad. It's a question of degrees.
So this is what I came to overnight. I sort of, because I was so sure he was going to get the Tommy John, that when it came out that he wasn't, I'm like, oh, good news for the Red Sox. Good news. That's good news. You should feel good about that. Good news. And then I thought about it more and more, and I said, well, wait a minute. They're really just in the same place they've been for 13, 14 months, which is, he ain't right, and they don't know how to get him right. I mean, if he had gone for the Tommy John, like I said, that's a year, year and a half out, 12 to 15 months. And what you're looking at there is he misses all of 2020. And again, we'll see a spring training 2021. That's a long time to wait, Maz. We could all get hit by an asteroid in that time and not even make it there. So it's like, oh, that would have sucked. But then I said, well, wait a minute. At least there would have been an answer for his problems. We would know how he was pitching so poorly, why he was pitching so poorly. He would undergo a surgery that has been proven to work. It's lengthy. It takes a long time, but it's proven to have worked. And if we do all make it to 2021 and the world doesn't explode, he has a chance to come back and with 4 years left on that contract, really craft a second chapter in his career and come back with a stronger elbow because guys do it all the time when they finally ultimately come back from the thing and be a productive guy in the twilight of his career.
Sure.
Now, they still don't even really know how to get him right.
So a whole lot of gray, isn't there?
They don't know how to get him right. Because if the thing started when he was put on the shelf in July of last year with a shoulder, but really doesn't feel like it's all related in some way, shape, or form. And they shut him down for that long period of time last year. He came back for the playoffs, still wasn't the same guy. He has a whole offseason. They give this whole special approach for him in spring training with the reduced workload and not throwing him out there. And they try this whole new thing. That doesn't work. He's horrible in the season. And then he gets to August again. They have to shut him down. There's more inflammation. And now it's like, we'll give him that platelet injection. He'll rest. And then we'll see where we're at, which to me means they're in the exact same place they've been the last 13, 14 months with no answer.
Yeah, maybe worse. Maybe worse. In fact, probably worse because the guy's got a hurt elbow now on top of it.
So what, you know, that initial news, no Tommy John, great, yay. But then just step back and look at the whole thing. Well, where are they with the guy?
They don't know where they are. All they know is right now they're going to let it calm down. They give him a platelet-rich PRP injection, and they'll see where he is in 4 to 6 weeks. And I was just listening to the press conference because I want to hear the whole thing, and I want to hear Sale. I couldn't give a rat's ass what Cora says or what Dombrowski says. I want to hear Sale. So I had Jimmy cue up this cut. He was asked twice. Sean McAdam and Dan Shaughnessy asked him, do you have assurances that there's no tear? Okay? So the question's a little hard to make out, but I want you to listen to the exchange and see if you had the same response I did. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Were you given any assurance that there's no damage to the UCI?
Yeah. So there was inflammation. We got around the PRP. Never done that before, so that was kind of an interesting process, too. We got a few dead days here for the next couple days, and then get back on some shoulder strengthening, some forearm strengthening, and start getting ready for a throwing program.
You can say with certainty that there's no tear in there?
Yeah, we had some inflammation. We got around the PRP, and we roll.
Okay, I don't believe him. I don't believe
it. So wait a minute. That's tough, man.
I'll tell you why.
I don't want to hear from Dombrowski. I don't want to hear from Cora. I only want to hear from him. And then you hear from him and he says, I still don't believe it.
Yeah, because I can tell whether or not he's lying. That's why Dombrowski, it's a given that he's lying. But I'll tell you what, I don't believe him. I'll tell you why I don't believe him. Because McAdam says, you have assurances? Yeah. I mean, we get the PRP. I told you we get the PRP. And then Johnny says, so you have assurances? No tear. Yeah, I get a PRP injection in, but it feels to me like he doesn't really want to answer the question. He just wants to say, yeah, because I'm not supposed to tell you there's a tear. And then he starts talking about the PRP and what the plan is. And then in 4 to 6 weeks, they're going to reevaluate. What do they have to reevaluate? I mean, what, if you still have inflammation? No. There's a tear in there. That's why there's inflammation.
So there's a reason. That's the other thing. There's a reason that it's inflamed. There's something inflaming it, whether it's a tear, minor tear, sprain, bone chip, there's something in there that's causing the inflammation.
I just feel like if there was no tear, David Price came back from this guy and said, I have a unique elbow. He told me I have a unique elbow. Everything's good. We're going to be fine. I'm not going to need the surgery. We're going to go forward. Okay? This guy says, you have assurances? Yeah. I mean, like I said, I got to play. He's just reciting what they told him. I feel like they gave him the script. And he's sticking to the script. Otherwise, if it were me and a doctor told me, listen, you don't have a tear in there, you're good, I'd be saying, yeah, that was a huge relief, actually. He told me no tear. That meant something to me because, again, you always go out there with doubt in your mind. There's none of that. There's just like, yeah, and right onto the platelet-rich plasma injection. He doesn't talk at all about, no, I'm happy that there's no tear. Or he doesn't give you any of that. You know why? Because he doesn't believe it. Because he knows it's not true. Because there's something going on in that elbow, and he probably has a partial tear. And what Andrews told him is, we'll try this first, and we'll see how you do.
Because they have a little wriggle room. If it's 12 to 15 months and they push back surgery another 6 to 8 weeks, call it, what he's going to be missing then is spring training in 2021 or, in that time frame. So he would be due back sometime in the offseason of 2021. If he pushes this back, say 2 months now, you're going to miss the 2 months on the back end, but that still puts him in position to pitch in 2021. And so, fine. Right? Okay, so take that time to see if you can push off surgery. But then are they still just delaying the inevitable? Are they still just dealing with a guy who can't be the same because his elbow's not right? But
maybe
they're just going to sort of manage it and do it that way. As you said, Tanaka, they did the same thing. He could have gotten the Tommy John. They didn't. They opted for rest. And he's pitched with a minor tear in his elbow or, whatever. But he hasn't been the same guy. And they've just sort of decided to take that route versus ripping the Band-Aid off, getting the surgery, and coming back a different guy with a restructured elbow.
Correct.
Elbow. Are they going to do the same thing with Sale? And what's that going to look like when he comes back?
Yeah, if they go that route, my experience or feeling has been that guys that typically go that route are never quite the same again. You're better off getting the surgery depending on your age.
Okay, well, what's your thoughts on this? 617-779-0985. You can't help but go back and look at the extension, Maz.
I think it's a disaster. I think that decision to sign him was a colossal mistake. Huge. I don't know how anybody could look at it any other way. Given all that was going on, he missed a half season with a shoulder injury. They had him in-house, and they decided to give him $145 million before he threw another pitch? I mean, when does that ever happen? Like, who in their right mind would do that? Who in their right mind would have a guy in-house entering a contract here, miss a half season with an injury effectively, and came back and pitched but wasn't the same? We all know that. And he shows up at spring training and they back him off because they're worried about him being able to make it through a season. But we're going to give you $145 million. Stupid. One of the stupidest decisions they've ever made, given that how this thing has played out.
That's saying something, Maz.
Mike, listen, they've had some really bad decisions on contracts.
I was going to say, you put this online with Crawford and Pablo Sandoval and these contracts?
Okay, so with Crawford, it was 7 years, and I want to say like
90-something million.
I want to say 144 for Crawford.
Oh, why'd I say that?
So something like that.
Yeah, you're right. It was 20 a year, right.
Right, it was like $20.5 million a year, something like that. But he came in from the outside. Like, he wasn't their guy. They didn't have him. They didn't know every detail about Carl Crawford. And Sandoval was, again, similar case. And we all knew that Sandoval was overpaid. We just didn't expect it to be quite as bad as it turned out.
No, the comp, I think, is the one you mentioned yesterday, Mike, is Ruzney Castillo, because they're trying to correct a mistake.
They're overcompensating for missing out on John Lester.
I'm telling you, this thing's one of the worst contracts they've ever signed. When you factor in all the elements, I'm not just talking about sheer value. I'm talking about you had the guy in-house. He had an injury. He shows up at spring training and hasn't thrown a meaningful pitch. And you even know that you have to back him off because you're worried about him making him through the season. But you know what? Let's give you $145 mil for the hell of it. Who does that? Oh, it's huge. It's a massive mistake in and of itself, to the point where I'd say borderline fireable. To have a guy like that in your operation, I'd be reviewing my medical staff, my baseball operations staff. You make a decision like that. Like, I think that's one that you look at your operation and go, what the hell did we do here? Holy crap. We went to that length and gave this guy that contract and we couldn't even get him through basically half a season? He didn't start pitching until May 1st. So what, did he get 3 months in before his elbow popped? What a mistake.
Who are you blaming?
I go to Dombrowski primarily.
Henry.
John Henry.
I go to the baseball guy. The baseball guy should know better.
Henry.
The baseball guy should know better.
Let's pick this up on the other side. 90 seconds to word developments here today with the Patriots. Tom Brady got himself another receiver. Murray has the details on that. We can cycle back to all the football stuff that we've hit on today as well. We've hit on a bunch of it. Why Bill's being so prick.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.